and glory. We declare, as we did earlier and we continue to declare, that you are good. That all that you do is good. And that regardless of what our perspective might be, regardless of what our perception might be telling us, you never let us down. We may not always have the clearest of pictures, but Lord, I know deep in my heart that you never let us down. And sometimes it just takes more understanding and a quieting to see all that you're doing. We praise you for all the things that you have stopped, for every bus that you've diverted, for every car that you've moved to the side, for every decision by an employer to be changed, all the things that you've done for our hearts and for our lives to take care of our needs. You said that these things you shouldn't worry about. I will provide, and you do. And we are so very grateful. And we thank you for all that you do, and I ask, Lord, as we step into your word this morning, that our hearts would be again re-inspired, that our spirits and our souls would be comforted, edified, maybe prodded a little bit, but mostly just that we would again be reassured with the idea that you are good and that you have had our best in mind from the founding of the earth. And we thank you for this, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so our passage that we're going to work out of this morning or read out of is in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 7. So if you want to go there, stick your finger in it. We're going to read it in a minute. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. So how many people... time for some reality check. Seems like we go here about every Sunday, but I'm curious to know how many people really enjoy firing up Facebook and reading all the stuff, or the social media and the news headlines and reading all the stuff. There are some people pointing around in this. Yes, that's fun, right? So there's wonderful, good things, and then there's meh, not so good, right? You kind of get a feed of all. Some things that you look at and you go, man, what a joy, what a blessing. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, for what you're working in these situations. And then there are other things that are like, okay, I could have probably done without that today. I don't know if I need that. And sometimes you have control over what you choose and what you read to some extent. But our lives, if you come out at all, our lives are bombarded daily with a whole potpourri of media blitzes in social media and Twitter and Facebook, Instagram. I mean, they're all of them got just every kind of aspect of things that are coming our way. And sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I find some of the things just flat down, outright disturbing and upsetting. And when I get through reading them, I have to put my phone down for a minute because I can feel my spirit getting churned up. And I think people generally, and this is a huge generalization, so forgive me, but I think people are generally classified in one of two responses. When you have something like that hit, your initial response is either just to run, hide, go, leave it, or to pick up something and get effective by making damage some way, shape, or form. Fight. You're either fighting or flighting. One of the two. Typical. My typical response when something comes up and gets my ire up is to fight. I want to jump in the middle of it. I want to straighten things out. I want to tell people what's going on. I want to say what needs to be said to set the record straight, to do whatever those things. My wife, on the other hand, is one that's like, okay, undo this feed. I don't want to see it. 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 Both of them, though, are just our responses to some of the things that we see. And equal to this often chaotic barrage of media is, especially when you're in the, you know, if you do Facebook or any of these things where, you know, any of the news outlets or any of the blogs or anything, there's always opportunities to comment, right? How many of you ever just kind of ran on a somewhat controversial feed and just spent 5 or 10 minutes just running down through all the comments that come back? There are as many opinions as there are grains of sand on the ocean beaches, man. There is so many different responses and so many different things. And when we get into it feels like there are sometimes people just take the obligation to say, I'm going to respond, and I'm going to throw my thing out there, and I'm going to make it known. Here it is. And you get every conceivable, possible fix, quote-unquote fix, for this solution, for this issue in the world. However, how many of them are really good? That's debatable. And when we hit that barrage of feedback and all the comments and stuff, sometimes, probably more like often, it feel challenged to really know, okay, how do I respond? How do I really respond to this? Do I need to respond? Do I need to reply? Do I need to do something different? What do I need to do? For those of us that were here last week, we took a look at some verses in a preceding chapter and looked at the idea that not letting the issues of life consume our plane of vision to the point to where we lose sight of God. That they become, in some ways, they almost become idols, because they replace God in our lives. They become bigger than He is. They become bigger than anything that He could do. They become bigger in our lives and something that we lose focus of. Instead, what we want to do, and what we talked about, was striving to keep our attention focused on Jesus. Holy Spirit, see what they are doing or telling us. See what they're talking about. See what the Scriptures is telling us to say. Look into those kinds of things and keep our focus there. Our passage today, which was written quite a while ago, I think gives us a look at one aspect of God's actions and characters that we can look at and draw some comfort from. So let's begin reading, and we're going to begin again. Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 7. And we're going to read this. I want to read this passage, this letter of encouragement, a little bit of admonition, but this letter of encouragement and admonition that was written to us some 3,000 years ago. All right? So to give you a context and perspective, this was written long before all of the Facebook issues we've searched, long before we were even a twinkle in Mom and Dad's eye. This has been God's heart towards those that He calls His. He starts out with, ho! Okay, let's put the modern version of that. It would be, yo! Yep, I woke the system up. It's literally, it could be literally translated in our modern vernacular as, yo! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yo, listen up. I got good news for you. When we read these passages, God, as he often does throughout Scripture, you know, the Bible has a lot of words and it uses tangible, physical, tangible things that we can relate to convey spiritual meanings, because sometimes spiritual understanding is not easy because we don't see it. But God gives us these physical, tangible things in our lives to help us get understanding about spiritual concepts. And the Bible is a spiritual book. And sometimes we have to look at this and ask God as we're reading, what is it you're trying to teach me in this, Lord? What spiritual concept am I walking away with? In these passages, God is giving us spiritual lessons on giving, gifts of mercy, contentment, fulfillment, satisfaction, and forgiveness. And when he begins, the way he begins this out, he uses two very basic conditions that I think every person sitting in this room can relate to. Thirst and hunger. Anybody ever been thirsty? No? Just me? Really? Wow. Y'all are amazing. How about hungry? Now, if you're a teenage young man in this room, I guarantee you, you've been hungry. I guarantee it. Yes, don't judge, right? Look at this. If you're anything like I was, Mom hated to go to McDonald's because even though she would buy two Big Macs, two orders of large fries, two everything, put them on the table in front of me, before she could even get halfway through her little, you know, her little tiny quarter pounder thing, I'm already kind of fishing and looking over going, do you want that? Can I have that? Are you done with that? Literally. It was pretty bad. I was a bottomless pit when I was growing up. And those two things, those are basic human things that we can all relate to, right? Being thirsty and being hungry. When you're thirsty, dumb question, rhetorical question, what do you want?
Water.
Do you want a candy bar? Do you want a good book to read? You do when you're thirsty? No. I mean, you could, I guess, but might take your mind off it for a little while. Do you want a sugary diet soda when you're really thirsty? Not really. Not really. Ben and I went out on a cross-country hike, run kind of thing out in Moab, near Moab, Utah, through the Canyonlands. And, confession here, stupid teen, not very smart, did not bring anywhere near enough water at all to drink. But we had about a 12-pack of soda between the two of us that we had in our backpacks. Not enough water, but we had plenty of soda. I was never so wiped out at the end of a day because, you know, you're thirsty and you need something to quench your thirst. Soda does not do it. I'm just here to tell you, I think these energy drinks and the, you know, like the Gatorades and stuff like that, with all the sugary stuff they got in them, they don't help. When you want something to drink, you want water. And you want it now. If you want something to really cut your thirst, you want water. Because that is the purest form of liquid that you can get in your body that your body can most rapidly pull together. It's the right thing. John 4:14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So when he starts out the scripture and he says, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." He is talking about Jesus, the water that, the only true water that will quench the thirst of our spirit. As we move down through that passage and all the way down through at least the first part of verse 2, he continues by saying, "And you have no money. You have no money. Yes, come buy wine and milk." Whoop, wait. I just told you I have no money. What am I going to be buying? With what? Come buy wine and milk. Oh, wait. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We spend a lot of our days, our waking hours, pursuing things. Do we not? Some things are good and necessary, and it's just part of what we do as on a daily basis. But some things, yeah, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. We pursue after things because we are looking to do something that only one person can satisfy. And that's to fill a hungry void in our spirit that only Jesus can satisfy. Jesus tells us in John 6:27, "Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man," i.e. Jesus, "will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." And he continues later in that same chapter, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the source of the quenching of that hunger that's a spiritual hunger in our lives. We cannot quench it in any other way. We can watch every great movie. We can go buy the car we've dreamed of all of our life. We can buy the dream house that we've had in our sights forever. We can marry the perfect woman or man. We can have the most perfect kids. We can do a lot of things. But those will never, ever satisfy fully that hunger of our spirit. It is only, and Jesus is the only one that can do that. How many of you ever gone to the county fair, gone to a fair or something of the sort? What is your favorite fair food? Anybody? Hot dogs. Funnel cake. He got yours. Bananas. Nice. I don't think I've ever seen bananas at the fair. That's pretty cool. Are they fried? Deep fat fried and... What's that? Indian fry bread? Cinnamon rolls, tornado fries that go forever, that are laden with cheese and chili and all of this stuff. Anybody getting hungry yet? I'm doing this purposely, right? I'm torturing you all right before lunch. Cotton candy. Anybody do cotton candy? Is that still around? Yeah? Cotton candy. How about the deep fat fried Dunk Twinkies? Come on now. You want to live forever. You done that? Yeah? What? Popcorn. And not just any popcorn, right? This popcorn has everything in the kitchen basically on it, right? Okay. How many of you, after spending all day at the fair eating boatloads of this kind of food, go home and go, man, I just feel so satisfied, I'm ready to take on the world? How many of you are looking for the Tums, the antacids, the trying to just find the nearest bed because I feel like I've been run over by a train? Some of us are identifying with that. Can you imagine living your entire life spiritually, eating nothing but fair food every day of your life? Do you think that that would fulfill your spirit? No. In a spiritual sense, we need to be feeding ourselves with the good food, the healthy food. And what is the healthy food? Where can we find healthy food? That's right, the Bible. But how am I ever going to eat something if I never pick it up? It's certainly not going to jump out of here and jump onto me. So if I could encourage, read this book cover to cover. If you have not done so, please do. There's some good stuff in here. Some really good stuff in here. This is where the food comes from. And who is the one that brings that food and brings it and reside and makes it reside in my heart? God does. Through who? Through Jesus. Jesus said, I will come. I will be you and me, me and you, Father and me, all of us together. It is Jesus in us. I think part of our challenge living in the time and the age that we're living in now, with the immediate availability of information, you know, immediately. And of course, the media that's around us has a tendency to dramatize the most, the worst, the best. The things that are media worthy is what hits your screen mostly. And some of it's just hard to hear. Sometimes if we let all those commentary from the media events and the talking heads and the debates and the this and the that, if we let that become what we get invested in, instead of turning our hearts and our spirits to Jesus and Holy Spirit and looking to get direction from them, asking them, how do I respond? How do I deal with this? What do you want me to do with this, God? Really, what do you want me to do with this? Those things can distract us. and become bad food. Because those then start to become bigger in our lives. Our flesh tends to start taking over versus our spirit operating under the direction of Christ in us. And what's Jesus saying? Yo, come. Come to me. I got food. I got water that's going to take care of that hunger and that thirst. Come to me. So what am I spending my energy and resources on? My physical and spiritual energy and resources on. More importantly, do they line up with what I see God doing now? What is God doing now? What do I see Him doing now? If I don't see those things lining up with that, if that's not coming into a nexus with what I'm looking at, verses 2a and 3 give us some more direction. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Turn your head to me. To incline one's ear has the picture of devoting your listening totally to somebody. Undivided attention. And come to me. Not read the latest blog from so-and-so. Not get the opinion, the last opinion and comment from so-and-so. Not even so much what Pastor Scott says or Pastor David says or any other pastor says. What am I saying to you? What am I speaking to you in your heart? What is you getting out of your time reading the Word? Hear, and your soul shall live. He is our answer. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. That word, sure mercies, there's a Hebrew word that's rendered sure mercies in this particular one. And that Hebrew word, I read some, we support a ministry called Bridges for Peace. And it's basically an organization that goes into Israel and kind of helps support the poor in Israel and also carefully and tenderly presents gospel and represent, you know, ministers to the people through acts of deeds and stuff. And we've been supporting them for years and years and years. And they have a newsletter that they put out that's just really good because you get to read things that are in a context of a Jewish context. You got to remember, all of the disciples and Jesus, what were they? They were Jews. And there was a lot of cultural context in what they were living in and what they were doing. And there was some, probably a lot of understandings on the Jewish, in a Jewish family or in a Jewish group that some words just have a whole lot more meaning. And the Hebrew language is one of those things. The Hebrew language has so much depth to just one syllable. One syllable of the Hebrew language has a huge depth of meanings. And then you pull that together with another syllable and then put one little dot somewhere, it totally changes the meaning with or without the dot. That's why when the Scripture says, when Jesus says, not one jot or tittle will be left out or ignored, it's because those are extremely important to the meaning of these words. This word, there are several Jewish scholars that have said this, and they said, if you're going to learn any Jewish word in the entire Bible, learn this one. And that word is chesed, and it's spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. The language rendering of it is spelled chesed. And it means, it has generally the meaning of mercy. It's often translated mercy, grace, loving kindness. But according to Jewish tradition and teachings, any definition of this word, any rendering of this word is an incomplete rendering without components of strength, steadfastness, and generosity. The word chesed is often used throughout the Old Testament of an expression of God's heart to His people. And it carries a covenant with it, a covenant meaning of these things of mercy, of kindness, loving kindness, of grace, and from a steadfast strength and generosity. One of the commentaries I read said, and it talked about the best illustration of this was in Exodus 33. Okay, so I'm going to take you, we're going to go back to the Old Testament in Exodus 33, chapter 33. And what is happening is Moses has been asking God, show me who you are. I want to know who you are. Show me, reveal yourself to me. I want to know. I need to know. And God finally relents after he broke the first set of tablets. Okay, so he went up on the mountain. God gave him laws. He came back down. They were sacrificing to the golden calf and having their party down there, and Moses threw them and they busted. This is the second time up the mountain. Okay, he went up the mountain the second time, and in this chapter, and Moses said, show me now your way that I may know you. He wanted to know what God's way was. So in Exodus 34, chapter 6, the story continues, and it says, as God's glory passes by Moses, and I'm paraphrasing, okay? As God's glory passed by Moses, God proclaimed the names of the Lord. He used several Hebrew words in the rendering of this, the writing of this passage, to proclaim the name of the Lord. And in the Jewish context, we've talked about this before, but in the Jewish context, your name isn't just something to substitute for, hey, you. Right? Your name, given to you, your Jewish name, had very deep, deep meanings. In the world at the time, it wasn't just a moniker for identification. It revealed the very soul and spirit of the one named. You remember us talking about Jacob? Remember, anybody remember who Jacob is? Yeah, in the Old Testament? You know what Jacob means? No? Liar. Deceiver. How'd you like to go around being called liar and deceiver? Hey, there comes liar deceiver. God changed his name, by the way, to Israel, which means one who wrestled with God and won. So in Exodus, God reveals to mankind his character. What he is doing as he is stating his names to Moses and as he's passing by, he's revealing his character. He's revealing who he is and his very substance, his very essence. And one of the words he uses is this Hebrew word, chesed. So by his nature, God is a giver. He lavishes life, love, and good things on his creation. He is a loving, gives loving kindness. He issues mercy. This is God. The verse itself reads this way. It says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Every one of those, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness, every one of those is a separate Hebrew word. So the God that just made this promise to us in this deal, you incline your ear to me, you hear, your soul is going to live. And not only that, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant. This isn't just to Israel. This is to everybody. This whole passage is an invitation to all. Make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. It's ours to claim. He goes on to describe the kinds of things that he's going to do in the context of what he did with David. And then you jump down to verse 6. So here's the admonition, if you will, of this scripture. We'll reread it. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God's telling us, come, eat for free. You don't have to buy this. You don't have to do it. You don't have to fix your life before you come to me. You don't have to have everything settled up and squared away and fixed and perfect and clean and mopped up before you come to me. Just come. I've got free food. I have already purchased all that you need with my blood and my body. Come. But hurry. Don't delay. Now. Today is the day. Today is the day. And the path forward is a simple one. Except for our pride has a tendency to make it not a simple one. Because our pride has a tendency to say, well, not me. Well, I'm not that bad. Well, I don't really need that. Well, I don't need a Savior. God, why do I need God? I got this. But that path forward is a simple one, and it's just ours is to seek Him. To incline our ear to Him. To listen and receive from Him. And His promise in return is an eternal mercy and abundant pardon. So does it mean let's just say I tentatively decide it's okay and I'm going to go ahead and accept this and I make that move. Now I got to be perfect. Well, guess what? You'll be the only one short of Christ. Abundant pardon. Eternal mercy. What it means is that He wants our heart. He wants us to look to Him, to follow Him, to give ourselves to Him. We're not going to be perfect. He knows that. If He wanted us perfect and wanted us to stay perfect the entire time on our own volition, He had required it before you could even come to the banquet. But He didn't. These passages are an indication of God's heart. Written 3,000 years ago. His heart does not change. It is unchanging. And all of the stuff that's going on around us, all of these things that are happening around us, all of these issues did not catch Him by surprise. Pretty sure God's not sitting up there going, didn't see that one coming. Hope you can take care of that. So what is our response? Come. Listen. Eat. Drink. And I will be the one to give you that rest. I will be the one. I'm going to play a song there in a minute for us to just close our time out together. And then when I'm done, I'll be up here for prayer or something if you'd like. But this song is really just, as I was preparing for this message over the course of this last week, it just, man, hit me right square between the eyes. It just had a really solid message. It's been around since about 2010, so it's one that you may be familiar with, but I've never stopped to really listen to the lyrics. But I want to present a picture to you, or I want to take you through something as you think about and ponder on all of the things that are impacting your life right now. Okay? And that is, I want you to think about the idea that you're saved, you've given your life to the Lord, and God comes down one day and He puts His arm around you and He says, okay, let's take a trip. I want to take you on a trip. You're like you're going to tell Him no, right? No. Okay. So you tentatively just kind of settle in for the trip, and He, boom, fast forward. Thousands of years into the future, heaven. And He gives you this vision of your eternal state. Your glorified body, the peace, the joy, the never-ending communion with God. Never-ending. Friends, family, everybody is there and you're enjoying this time together, okay? It's the best thing that you could wildly imagine and beyond. I'm convinced of that. And God says, this is what it's going to be like. I'm just giving you a preview. Just giving you a preview. You're like, okay, can I just stay? I don't want to go back. Can I just stay here? And God says, nope, I'm not done yet. There's a lot of hurting people, and I need you. I need you. And you, 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 and you. Every one of you, I need you. Because there's a very special job that God has given each of us to do. There's a person that we're going to minister to. There's a song we're going to sing. There's a word we're going to write. There's a something that we're going to do, a hug that we're going to give, that you're it. You're the one. That's what He designed you for. And you're going to do it to touch somebody else's life and build kingdom. Because I need my kingdom builders. I've chosen to do this through you, in you. I'm in you. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it in you, through you, with you. So you come back. Reluctantly. And now, you're the next day after the experience, and you pick up the deal, and you look up Facebook, and you see that the ISIS is now taking over the entire whatever, and blah, 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 blah. Do you think your perspective on that article is going to be just a bit different? One commentator put it like this. He said, imagine, it has the impact of if you're a billionaire in this world and you lose your one penny of your account, gets a scratch on it. That's about the equivalent of the impact of what this headline is going to mean to that in eternity. We have a God that is so good. I so appreciate the worship this morning, Laura. Songs, it's like, once again, here we are. I'm just like mind blown. Every song could have been absolutely geared and written to go right hand in hand with what God gave me this morning. We have such a good God and such a faithful God, and He is eternal, faithful, and steadfast. And maybe we don't always feel it. Maybe we don't always see it. Maybe we really question. I mean, let's face it. There are many amongst us that have gone through and are going through some really hard stuff. And you really kind of go, okay, God. Not seeing it, not feeling it, not really getting it today. But that doesn't mean that He isn't there. And that doesn't mean that He isn't walking beside us. And that doesn't mean that we don't have any idea. The thing that we never have the concept for is we don't have the concept to compare without and with. I told Jana the other day, I said, I can't even begin to imagine taking one step in this life without God in my life. I just can't. I can't imagine what that would be like. The hopelessness alone would be enough to destroy you. God wrote 3,000 years ago gave this man Isaiah prophetic words that we read today that are just as applicable today as they were then. And they will continue to be just as applicable right up and through the time when Jesus comes back, takes his bride, and we all sit down for the wedding feast of eternity and enjoy together. Now, as we listen to this song, I want you to spend some time and do something for me. If you're sitting in this chair today and you have not made a commitment to Christ in your life, you have not said, "Yes, God, I want everything that you have for me, and I want to be the one in which you live." Let him know, and we're gonna just pray real quick before we start this song, and you can just pray with me, and we'll just have everybody pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given all so that we may be with you. Jesus, I know that my thoughts are not righteous. I know that my ways are not your ways. I know that there are some things in my life that have held me from having a relationship with you. And Lord, I confess those sins to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would wash me clean like you promised. And I pray that you would reside in my heart and begin to teach me more about what you want for me to be doing. I accept and believe that Jesus died on that cross for me. I receive that gift with open arms. And Lord, for us that are walking with you, again, God, help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to make you and your word the very first stop with everything that we are encountered with and are faced with. There's just not any wrangling outside of that. And that we have your heart on the issues that we face. Help our ears to hear, eyes to see, and spirit to be moved. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just sit back and enjoy the song as we close out our time together here. And then after that, you're dismissed. I'll be up here. Some of us will be up here for prayer if that's something you'd look for. If you made a decision today to follow Christ, let somebody know. Come tell me, tell your parents, tell your friend, tell somebody. Let them know. We want to celebrate.